I love to read a good mystery book. I love to read them. And as I'm kind of a simple-minded fellow, so there's a lot of things that are mysterious to me. For example, a Rubik's Cube. That's mysterious to me, how anybody could figure one of those out. And then I just now get that in my head about this square one that people do. And then Eli brings in this triangular one that is even more complicated and is able to do it. That's mysterious to me. Okay, we're going to be talking about a mystery today. It's probably the greatest mystery of all, and it's going to be found in the book of Philippians. By the way, I'm Steve, I'm the children's pastor, and you all are a lot taller than the people that I normally talk to. I can actually look into your faces. Usually they're down here or on the floor or something worse than that. Just it goes on. Yeah, we won't talk about it. So in Philippians, this story takes place. This episode in the Bible takes place. Paul is writing a letter to a group of people, a church that he started time before, and it's a love letter. He loves this group of people. He really loves these people, and he wants to share with them and continue to share with them. Now, they are Roman citizens. As you can tell where they are, that's Macedonia. If you look where Philippi is, what we would call Greece now. They're Roman citizens, and they have an allegiance to Rome, very much so. It's kind of a weird thing if you think about it. Their allegiance to Rome was something somewhat like what we do here at sporting events. We always start our sporting events by singing the national anthem. Well, in those days in Philippi, the way they would start something would be by yelling, "Caesar is Lord and Savior. Caesar is Lord and Savior." And they would chant that over and over again because they really worshiped Caesar as a god. They thought of him as their Lord and Savior. So Paul needs to help them understand that's not kind of the way it is, and he wants to share this special mystery with them so that they will understand that he is not Lord and Savior. He's not who we need to look for. He's not the superhero that you may want. Okay, these verses are going to be kind of long. We're going to focus on verse 6, but would you read along with me if you would, please? It's in the app if you want it, or you can look at it on the screen. This is Philippians 2:2-11. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now, sidebar, that's not the way it was in those days. You were out for number one. That was it. So when Paul is sharing this, this is a shocker. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Here we go. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, you're talking about something that went, huh? I'm sure people, when they read that, went, huh? I thought Caesar was this. So you're telling me that Caesar's not Lord and Savior? Wow. Okay. So help me understand this more, Paul. Well, here's the part. He emptied himself. He was in heaven. He was God. He is God. But he decided to come here. Now, why would he do that? Okay, think about this, guys. We all want a superhero. I'm sure the Roman people, the Philippians, wanted a savior. They wanted a Superman. They wanted a Wonder Woman. They wanted a, what's another good one? Who is that? Iron Man? Is that Iron Man? I don't, all right, thank you, kids. What, and then who is this one? Is it, who was that one, the last one? What was he? I've heard of him, Captain America. Okay, well, all right, so Captain, we all want that. So we look at our things now as superheroes. For example, as an adult, we might want to think of a superhero as my bank account, my job, yada, yada, stupid stuff. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say stupid. But it is stupid. That's what they thought of. And so when they were being told, no, that's not the way it is, that's not the Lord and Savior. God is your Lord and Savior. Let's review just a little bit. Let's make sure we've heard this. So fill in the blanks. Jesus was in the form of God. Jesus was God. That's what that means. Jesus took the form of a servant. Jesus humbled himself. And Jesus was obedient to the point of death on a cross. Now let's dig into that just a little bit more. It's important for us to know that right now at Christmas time, all that, you know, Christmas is fun, and we see the manger, we see the little baby Jesus and all that good kind of stuff. We give out all the gifts and all that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But when you really think about the mystery of what took place, wow, this is bizarre. God that created butterflies, that created trees, that created oceans, that created mountains, God himself is now with us. So why in the world would he do that? This is called incarnation. Incarnation. God is with us. That's important to know. God's here. He's not there. He's not up there somewhere. He's here. Jesus, the non-created part of the Trinity, the second part, is now here. Now, this is truly a mystery. This is big. This is really big. And you're talking about things that make you go, huh? That makes me really go, hmm. And that confuses kids. Kids, you've been here. If you've gone through children's church, you know, we're in there. I'm sure y'all hear us sometimes, and I'll go ahead and apologize for that. But sometimes when we have this lesson, and we do this lesson about once every 2 years, kids look at me like I have a green head, which, I've had a green head before. They look at me like, what does that mean? And I use a demonstration that I use with my daughter, Leah. Let me try to share that with you. It was this. Okay, here is a pitcher of water. Blue water, by the way. Pitcher of water. I tell the kids, this represents God. This represents God. The water is God. Kids, you with me? Water is God. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. What's in there? God. What's in there? Ooh, what's in there and on there? Oops, sorry, I'll clean it up later. What's there? God the Father, God the Son Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. They look different, but aren't they the same? They're blue, they're shaped different, but they're God. That's what we talk about in children's church. We use some other analogies and lessons and demonstrations and stuff like that. But that's the one that seems to stick with them the most. Then we talk about, after we've talked about the Trinity, which that word is a new one to them, the Trinity. We talk about that. We get into, well, why did he do this? Why did God come here? Why is God with us? What is all this about this incarnation? Well, here's the deal. And I like this. He came because he wanted us to know him, to know God. God wanted us to know him. And so he chose a way to do that through his son, Jesus, who is God. I know it's confusing. But here's the good part. He's not just someone who's standing over here barking out orders. He's down and dirty with us. He's right here with us. He wants us to know that he knows what we know. You know something? That's very comforting to me. As we learn about God's character, we know that God experiences whatever we experience. Whatever the trouble, he knows. Whatever the trial, he knows. Whatever that pain is, he knows. Whatever the challenge we are facing, he knows. And this is God's plan. He wants to tell you that I got you. I'm with you. I know what you're going through. I'm in control. God's in control. We say that all the time in children's church. Who's in control? God's in control. And he is. But he's lived it. It's not somebody over here that's just looking at us and going, oh, okay. No, he's down and dirty with us. He's gone through it. What you felt, what I feel, he has felt. That's good. The children always ask me, why is that in the Bible? Why is that so important? Why is that so important, Mr. Steve? Why is it in the Bible? Well, it's to let us know something. It's to let us know that God is here and he wants us to do something about it. Now, is that good news, by the way? Guess what? We are the church. We are the church. So we're supposed to be sharing this good news. We say we're coming to church on Sunday. This is a big thing with the kids and kids' world. We don't look at the church as having walls. We talk about church as when you leave here. It's not when you're in here. It's when you leave here that you're in church. That's when we are the church. This is good news that we need to be sharing. We are the church. We should be doing that. And that can start at your own in your own home. It did. You know, we did the Jesse Tree. And those of you that did the Jesse Tree, you'll have to agree with me. It was cool, wasn't it? It was good. I looked at your postings on Facebook. Some of you really got into that. It was just a matter of doing a devotion so that you could start teaching your children about this good news. And it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. And as a matter of fact, in this upcoming year in 2020, we'll be giving you more opportunities to have nightly or weekly devotions with your family that will do this very thing. We have to tell the world that God is with us and that God came to show us how much he loves us. There's a world that's lost. There's a world that's really messed up. If you listen to the news, just here in Columbus, what you hear, the murder rate is horrible. That's not all. I mean, look at the anger that you see around us. Just look at the suffering that people are doing. And we have good news, but we can't keep it in here. That'd be like kind of ridiculous. Why would we just do it in here? It's important that we come here. It's important that we get here. It's important that we learn. It's important that we get the tools that we need to go out and to help other people. That's what we need to be doing. But we also need to be doing it outside. We need to be doing it outside. Jesus, God, became flesh. If you think about this, his blood is what covers us. Spirits don't bleed, do they? When I think of a spirit, I think of smoke and that kind of stuff. Invisible. But Jesus became flesh to bleed, and he did, and he was obedient even to the cross. Now, if as a church, we join together, what could we do? And what you see on the screen right now is a redwood forest. Some of you have been to the redwood forest. I think Ricky told me earlier this morning that he has been to the redwood forest. It's not something that I've done. In science class, and some of you may have remembered this as well, kids, you might recall this. In science class, I was taught that a tree, just picture it going upside down, that the root system is the upside down tree. Some of those trees are 3,500 feet tall. That's tall. That's pretty tall, wouldn't you think? 3,500, I have no idea what this is, but it's not 3,500 feet tall. Some of those are 2,000 years old, and they've been standing through all kinds of troubles. They've stood through storms. They've stood through drought. They've stood through hurricanes. But did you know that their root system is not deep at all? It's kind of weird. It's a very shallow root system. And the way they're able to do that, folks, is that they are intertwined. They wrap around the roots of the other tree, which gives them lots and lots of strength. Now, what I take from that is this. Wow, what if we did that? What if we bound together? What if we intertwine as a group here? We are a church body. And have we stood through some stuff? Have you? Our church, think about what we've gone through this past year. If we had not been bound together, wow, think about that. Think about the trouble that you've had. Some of you have had some tremendous loss. Some of you have had some tremendous problems. But we've rallied around as a family. We say oftentimes, welcome home. Okay? If we're home folks, we share each other's burdens. Is that not true? We're supposed to share each other's burdens. If we could join together and intertwine and support each other, think of the difference that we might be able to make into a lost and dying world. Think about that. What difference could we make? What could we do? I think we could do a lot. I think we could really, really do a lot. I think that we could, if we joined together and supported each other in a healthy way, I think an impact would be held in our impact would happen in our city, in the Chattahoochee Valley. A difference would be made. We would represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is teaching us the character of God. So this is what we're supposed to do. This is what he did. So now this is what we are supposed to do. There's a saying we say in church, in children's church, that says, we just need to be Jesus in blue jeans. Now, what that means to kids is, kids wear blue jeans all the time. You don't have to go out and give somebody your car or buy them a house or something crazy like that. Although, if you want to, that's cool. Do that. Just be Jesus in blue jeans. Just be kind. Be one of those weirdos that we've talked about. Be a weirdo. You're standing in line at Walmart, the two lines that are open. You're standing in line at Walmart. Let somebody go in front of you. If somebody wants to pull in front of you in the car, you know, you can go crazy and do something. You probably get shot, but you can go crazy and do something crazy if you want to. Just be nice. You know what? A smile helps an awful lot of people. You ever notice that? Smile at someone. Let them know you love. And when they say, you're weird, why did you do that? I've been blessed. I want to bless you. Jesus has blessed me. I want to bless you. It's kind of that simple to me. It's really, we can do this. 2020 can be a different year. Now, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I think they're stupid. I've done them for years. I don't know about y'all. I have. I've said I'm going to lose weight. I've said I'm going to eat right. I've said I'm going to exercise. It lasts about 30 minutes, and then I'm getting leftover cake or whatever from Christmas, and it's all messed up. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that to make resolutions because I think they're stupid, but I am going to ask you to commit to some next steps. Now, first off, we need to get over one next step before we do this. You may be here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ. That's something that you may not have done. You may not be a weirdo. You may not understand what this is all about. Okay, well, before you leave, you need to do that. If God is pricking your heart, you need to go ahead and do that. You need to submit to it. Now, if you let us know that, we're a family here. The pastor's meeting, we're going to pray for you. We're not going to harass you or embarrass you or anything like that, but we will support you. Well, that's a big decision because you're making a big change. And if that's what you need to do today, you need to do that. Don't leave without it. Don't leave without doing it. There's boxes around for you to put that message in, and we will contact you and we will pray for you and with you. But I am going to ask you to do some other things. Not resolutions now, but commitments. Would you say our world's kind of dark? All right. So I want us to be the salt and light in a world that is dark. Be Jesus in blue jeans. It's not that hard. We can do this. We can do this. Be Jesus in blue jeans. And then this very important one. To me, this is probably the most important one. Will you commit to pray for our church family? I know you're already doing that. We've had to do that in this past year. Well, let's commit to do it more. And like those redwoods, if we will intertwine and support each other, think what a difference we can make. The incarnation, God with us, He's with us, and we can share it.